Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
Hey family, how are you? We are going to get into this word today. I hope that you have your Bibles today because we are going to be reading a lot of scripture. And you know what? It's never a bad day when you're in church reading a lot of scripture. So turn with me to Numbers 11:4, and it says, "The rabble with them began to crave other foods. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, 'If only we had meat to eat.'" Verse 5, "We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." And so Moses complains to God, and he says in verse 13, "Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing on me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." Verse 16, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone." Verse 18, "Tell the people, 'Consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed, 'If only we had meat, we were better off in Egypt.' Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just one day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him saying, 'Why did we ever leave Egypt?'" Verse 21, "But Moses says, 'Here I am among 600,000 men on foot, and you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them?' And the Lord answers, 'Is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you.'" And we're going to skip down to verse 33. "But while the meat was still between their teeth, and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague." My God, I know that was a lot of scripture, but I promise this message will speak to you. If you're taking notes today, the title of this message is called Crave. Join me in praying. Father God, I thank you for this day that you have made, God. God, bless each and every person that is watching this right now. I pray that this message will touch their hearts, God, and will lead them to transformation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, Pastor Terrence preached a brilliant message about how we got to keep our focus on God. You see, Moses went up to the mountain to be with God for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came down to the people, rather than them focusing on the fiery mountain, they focused on a man. They focused on Moses. And it was all about the fact that we have to be careful that we don't focus our attention on a man when we've got God to focus our attention on. It was so brilliant. You see, we've been in this series of the wilderness season for several weeks now. And we've been talking about how the wilderness in the Bible is usually representative of a place for intense experience, right? It's usually representative of a tough time in which a believer has to endure uncomfortable times or trials. Maybe it's where they may experience some sort of spiritual attack. It can involve something spiritual. It can involve health, something going on with their health, financial or emotional drought. Having a wilderness experience is not necessarily a sign that a believer has sinned against God or anything, but rather that it's a time of God-ordained testing. I don't know about you, but I think we can all agree that 2020 feels very much like a wilderness season, right? Some of us have experienced this season in 2020 harder than others, but I want to give a little glimmer of hope to those of you who fall into that category, those of you who have really experienced the impact of 2020 harder than other people. I want to say to you now that the harder your trials are, the greater your victory will be. I want to speak right now joy over your life. I want to speak hope over your life. I want to speak fullness and satisfaction in Jesus over your life. I speak love and peace over your life. Do you receive that right now? Hallelujah. Amen. I know 2020 hasn't been easy, but stay the course. God is with you. Don't give up and trust God's promise that he has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Amen. I hope you receive that right now. This passage, I'll go back to the passage here. This passage is filled with so many powerful truths about our human nature and how fickle we can be. We tend to be very fickle. One day we're this way, one day we're that. We forget, you know, and we complain. See, complaining is a regular theme with the Israelites in the wilderness. Today, I want to talk about why complaining gets us in trouble. The first thing is, complaining makes you lose your appetite for what God provides. So we read in the story that the Israelites are still in the wilderness, right? And they're complaining about what was once a miracle to them, the manna. They've been eating manna for a while now, and some of them, and you know, those people that the Bible call the rabble, which means a disorderly crowd or mob, and they're always like noisy and angry and just causing confusion. So the rabble start complaining. And now the complaint is about manna. They're tired of eating manna, so now they're craving meat. Have you ever lost a taste for something after having so much of it? Man, I can remember having a craving for some grilled meat, a grilled steak. So we went to a Brazilian steakhouse. And so you ever been to one of those? And they can be really, really great. So most of them have a set price. You walk in, you pay your set price, and then everything is pretty much all you can eat. It's like a buffet on steroids. So, you know, we go, we get in, and I went to the self-serve buffet, and there were all these, you know, fresh and delicious things presented, things like roasted bell peppers and buttery asparagus and cheese. I love cheese and olives and just all this goodness. And so by the time you get back to your seat, there's a card at your seat, and it's got one side green and one side's red. And when you flip the card, it tells you, things start happening. So here we go. I flip the card to green, and all of a sudden, all this meat starts appearing out of nowhere. And, you know, I ate it. I ate the first couple bites, and oh, they were so good. They melted in my mouth, and it was amazing. And one by one, the waiters were bringing all these delicious and juicy cuts of meat on metal skewers, and it was great. And one by one, they kept coming and coming and coming, when finally, you know, I started to feel like I might have hit my wall. You know, it was between the herb marinated pork loin, the picanha, the Brazilian sausage, leg of lamb, chicken breast wrapped in bacon. I don't know what happened, but suddenly I just hit the wall. And then the waiter says, but wait, you haven't had the lamb chops yet. And you know, lamb chops are my favorite. So of course he says this as the juices are slowly rolling down the skewer. So with a sigh, I found a crevice that I could fit it in. So, you know, and I did, you know, I'm not proud of that, but I did. And just when I thought the meal was over, filet mignon wrapped in bacon and Parmesan crusted pork loin magically just appeared on my plate. I really just don't know how it got there. Think somehow I must have blacked out, and it just appeared. And man, let me just say, it was pure gluttony. Needless to say, by the end of the meal, I didn't want to see meat for the rest of my life. I had so much of what was once good to me that I literally lost the taste for it. I didn't want to see meat at all. This is kind of like what happened with the Israelites, right? Let's go back to the verse. It says in verse 4, the rabble began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. So what's happening is day after day after day, the Israelites had manna. God provided manna for them, and they had their fill of manna. I mean, they were just, they had enough, more than enough manna to hold them over for all their families and for everyone to eat. And so after a while, they started to lose the taste for it. They got bored, or they just got tired of the manna. God had miraculously provided them with manna, something that was once so good and so miraculous that after a while they just got over it. They were over it. They didn't want it anymore. And they just wanted to replace the manna with meat. Oh my God, there's so much in there. The first thing I want you to note is that the rabble led to the complaining. See, when you surround yourself with complainers, you will become a complainer too. Man, you got to be careful who you surround yourself with. In this case, the rabble started to complain, and what was okay for the Israelites, what was okay to the people around them, suddenly became this burden that they were just over. They were just over it. They didn't even want it anymore. And I can say that I've seen this happen so many times in my life, especially in work settings. I've had the privilege of working at some of the greatest jobs that I have in my entire, all throughout my career. And I will say this happened at every single place that I worked at. There was always a person that would start complaining. Maybe it was about a boss or a supervisor or something. And that person would then inspire the rest of the group or the other employees to also complain. So what happens? We ended up with a toxic work environment. Man, don't become a part of the rabble. The rabble is always talking and complaining. Another thing to note is by complaining about the manna here, Israel was essentially saying that what God had given them did not satisfy them anymore. My God. And, you know, maybe you're thinking, man, that's kind of messed up. But if you're honest, how many of you can say that you probably sound like that at some point before? God has provided for you in some way before. Something was such a blessing at one point, and then you find yourself complaining about it. No? What about the job that he blessed you with? The job that now you hate so much. Remember how you used to thank God for that job, and now all you do is complain about it? Or what about the kids you prayed for, the kids that were a miracle in your life, but now, you know, now that they start talking back, you kind of start complaining about them too, right? Or what about the husband or the wife that he blessed you with? Oh, you used to cherish them so much. They were your treasure. Now you've gotten so used to them and bored with them that you're craving something else. You see, we gotta be careful not to let our cravings get us in trouble. The rabble will have you craving other food and giving in to your greedy desires. See, don't let your cravings cancel your blessing. My God. You see, the Israelites got to a point in their lives where they gave into the complaining, and they ended up wanting flesh rather than the spirit. Can you imagine that? The manna, which was spiritual, miraculous food, bread of heaven. And then we have the meat, which literally represents flesh. So in essence, they got tired of the Spirit of God and allowed their flesh, their worldly desires, to take over. Oh, family, we never want to get to the place where we're craving the desires of the flesh rather than the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's a good place to say amen. Let's always crave the Spirit of God and never give in to our worldly desires. Let's go back to the text, Numbers 11:5. It says, "We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leek, the onions, and garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." Complain, complain, complain. They remembered the fish and the fruit they ate for free. Because how many of y'all know that if you're in bondage, that food ain't free, right? You're paying for it somehow. But it's interesting that they prefer the slave food rather than the free food. Isn't that something? They wanted to trade in their miracle food for the bondage food. I believe the reason, I want you to listen to this. I believe the reason they lost their appetite for the manna is they let the manna get stale. The manna was spiritual food, again, bread of heaven, but they let it get stale in their hands. See, you know why anything gets stale? Let's talk about this. Because things get stale when you stop being creative with it, right? You stop recognizing its greatness, or you start tapping into the potential of something. Things get stale when you stop being grateful for something, or you start seeing it as something that's routine rather than something that is new each day. That's how things get stale. I believe that they were in a state of spiritual staleness. See, they didn't live with the Holy Spirit active in their lives. They stopped recognizing what a blessing the spiritual manna was. They stopped being creative with the manna and coming up with new ways to prepare it. The miracle got mundane. My God. Let's talk about the church. Some of us have stopped coming to church. We've stopped reading our words, praying, and even talking to God because it's gotten so routine for us. And we've become devoid of the Spirit in our lives. Man, if we're honest, some of us have allowed this season in 2020, the season of crazy, the season where nothing crazy is a surprise anymore. I get it. 2020 is draining. But some of us have allowed all of the things happening this year to really trickle into our spiritual lives. And if we're not careful, we can get deeper and deeper into spiritual staleness. So let's ask ourselves a few questions here. How do you know if you're getting into a state of spiritual staleness? One way is to monitor your complaining. Do you find yourself complaining about the state of things a lot? Are you just kind of like over everything and everyone, just everything annoys you and you just don't even want to deal with it? Do you feel like you're just drained and just tired of hoping for better? Let me tell you today, the word of the Lord for you today is in Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. I get you. 2020 is not easy, but we can't give up, people of God. Stale spirituality happens when we stop recognizing the power of the Holy Spirit working in and around us. See, the Spirit is always new and always fresh, and God gives it to us because He knows that we need it, especially in a time like this. We can't get numb to it. We can't get tired of it. We can't lose our appetite for the Spirit. See, God doesn't need us to tell Him, you know, what He needs to provide for us. He knows, and He's given us His best, and that's His Spirit. And there's nothing stale about the Spirit of God. When you give in to the cravings of the flesh, the Spirit becomes stale to you. Second thing I want you to catch here today is that complaining will make you lose the fullness of your blessing. Let's go back to Numbers 11:14. We see Moses complaining to God, and he says, "I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, please just go ahead and kill me if I have found favor in your eye. And just don't let me face my own ruin." Verse 16, the Lord says to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of the meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak to you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you do not have to carry it alone." You see, Moses walked around the camp and he heard the people complaining, and he allowed their complaining to lead him to go and complain to God. Oh, that is never a good idea. So God responds to Moses by saying, "You know what? I'm going to remove some of the power, the weight of the Spirit. I'm going to remove some of that from you so that you don't have to carry the burden by himself." You see, now Moses didn't lose everything. He didn't take all of the power from him, but he took some of that Spirit. So what am I saying? If you're not careful, your complaining can make you lose what's more important to you. You may lose everything in your life, everything that you may need, because you think it's a burden rather than a blessing. See, I've seen this happen in so many marriages. One person in the relationship starts to complain about the way the other person in the relationship does something, or maybe the way they don't do something, right? Or maybe one person in a relationship feels like they're underappreciated. Then they start to complain about, you know, the fact that, you know, they're not being appreciated. And then it's back and forth and back and forth. They're complaining to each other. And sooner or later, they just start to always fight. They're always fighting all the time. And then the worst happens. They end up splitting from each other. They end up losing each other. You see, when you stop seeing each other as a burden and recognize the blessing you are to each other, you'll be happier in your marriage, and your marriage will be stronger. I believe that this principle also works in any kind of relationship. It's not just marriage. It could be in a family relationship. It could be in your relationship with your employees, or the relationship you have with your employer. It could be any kind of relationship. When you treat the people that you're in a relationship with as a blessing rather than a burden, that makes the relationship stronger. The third thing I want us to get from this is that complaining will have you questioning God. Let's go back to the text, Numbers 11:21. It says, "But Moses says, 'Here I am among 600,000 men on foot. And you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month? Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them?' And the Lord answers Moses, 'Is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you.'" Moses lost his mind. He had the nerve to question God and whether he was able to provide for the people. This is God we're talking about. And, you know, I love how, you know, I love a good God clapback, right? He says, and you know what? It's never a good sign when God responds with a question. You never want God to respond to you with a question. It's never a good thing. Well, in this case, God has to respond with a question, And his question response is so fly. He says, is the Lord's arm too short? What? Other translations say, is the Lord's power limited? When did I become weak? Now, keep in mind, these aren't questions. These are more statements, okay? When did I become weak, he says. Another translation said, so do you think I can't take care of you? My God, I love this. It's so powerful. To those of you who are stressed and worried about your situation, maybe it's those of you who maybe think that 2020 is over for you. Everything that you were hoping for this year is a wash. I believe that God is saying to you today, so you think I can't handle your situation? Is my power limited? Can I not do anything at any time? When did I become weak? Am I not God? I feel like some of us need to be reminded of who God is today. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the provider. He is the healer. He is God the Most High. He is everywhere. He is peace. The Lord is my shepherd. He is righteousness. He is everlasting. They say that the wind went out from the Lord and drove in quail from the sea. Right then and there, he did exactly what he said he was going to do. He provided the meat for 600,000 men. See, don't limit God at any moment in your life. He can change everything in just a moment's time if it is in his will. Your limits are not God's limits. Don't put limits on God. Stop questioning what God is doing and just be ready for him to use you when it's time. Don't question God. And lastly, complaining leads to death. Verse 19, we're in Numbers 11, 19. You will not eat for just one day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him saying, why did we leave Egypt? Now we're going to jump down to verse 33. But while the meat was still between their teeth and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people and he struck them with a severe plague. Listen, there was so much quail that it covered the ground. I mean, God provided he provided enough in abundance. He provided an abundance of quail for over 600,000 men, and it was quail everywhere. And he sent enough for them to have their fill for a month. Now, some of us may think, well, that sounds like a blessing, but it was really a lesson for the people, wasn't it? Their complaint for meat is answered as God sends this abundance of quail to the people that ends up poisoning the people because of their gluttony. Oh my God. The ones who complained, remember those rabble, the mob, the complainers, the ones who complained and the ones that followed along, those people fell victim to their own greedy desires. Their cravings led them to the grave. My God, family, we can't allow our greed and our worldly desires lead us to death, where we're so far away from God that we end up in a grave. Don't let the complaining of others lead you down a path to nowhere. See, complaining is dangerous because it's one of those things that you probably don't even realize that you're doing in the moment. But I pray that this message makes you more aware of it and that you catch your complaining so that it doesn't drive you to the grave and it reminds you of all that God has provided for you. See, as a believer, a child of God, you always have access to the Spirit of God, which should give you hope, and it refreshes you, and it empowers you to overcome evil, and it gives you strength to fight against the temptations of the flesh. You know what CRAVE stands for? CRAVE, complaining robs all value of everything. Don't let your complaining kill everything in and around you. Get full of the Spirit So much so that it's the only thing that you'll be craving. Get so full of the Spirit, so the only thing you'll ever crave is God. Wherever you are right now, I want you to go ahead and close your eyes, or maybe you want to bow your heads. You could even maybe lift up your hands. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's watching. Maybe you're in your living room, your family's around you. You might even be in your bedroom. I don't know where you are, but I just want to pray with you right now. Maybe this is you. You've been in a relationship with God, and maybe that relationship is starting to feel a little stale. You're in a state of spiritual staleness. Maybe it could be because you miss church. You like the energy of being around other believers, and because of COVID, you know, we can't do that. Maybe you're just tired of everything. Maybe you've had so much, you've experienced so much loss this year that you're just, you've just lost hope, or you're just tired. I just, whatever the reason is, I just want to pray with you. I feel led to pray for you. Go ahead and join me. Father God, right now, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters today, the ones that feel drained, the ones that are emotionally drained. Maybe they're just not feeling it. Maybe everything around them is just not, doesn't feel right, God. The ones that are filled with complaints, they find themselves complaining about life, complaining about their situation, complaining about everything that used to be a blessing in their lives. Right now, I want to lift them up, God. I pray, God, that you may reinvigorate the spirit that is working in and around them by the power of who you are. I pray that that spirit is shifted today in Jesus' name. We rebuke any flesh and worldly desires that may be clouding their better judgment, that may be clouding the power of the Spirit in them. God, I pray right now that their spirits may rise up and remind them of who they are. They are your children, God, and they have the best of you in them and around them, God. God, I pray for grateful hearts to be risen up against them. I pray that they may be full of joy, Lord, full of life, Lord, and that they may see that all that you provide is good, and they will never lose their appetite for you and your Spirit. The second prayer is for the one or the ones out there that maybe they don't have a relationship with Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity to be able to accept Christ into your life, to be able to fill the empty spaces that you may have inside of you, because that's what a life with Jesus does. It fills the empty spaces inside of you. Maybe you've been feeling lost. Maybe you've lost your appetite for life. I'm here today to share with you that Jesus wants to give you back a taste and a zeal for life. He has a life that is so good. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, he has a life. What he has is so good that you won't be craving anything else. Is that something that you would want to be or you want to have in your life? Well, if your answer is yes, I want you to repeat after me. See, the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and you confess that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. So it's not just about repeating what I'm about to tell you, I'm about to ask you to repeat, but it's about making sure that you repeat it with all of your heart. You wanna do that? Let's do that. Dear Jesus, I've sinned. I'm not proud of it. Take away my sin. I don't want it anymore. I reach to heaven to accept your forgiveness, God. God, I thank you, and I know that you have forgiven me, God. I want to walk a life with you, God. I want to follow you, God. Thank you. Thank you for filling me up, God. Thank you for giving me a new taste for life, God. Lead me, guide me from here on out. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you prayed that prayer, I want to be the first one to say, welcome to the family. Thank you so much for taking that leap of faith. And I pray that you continue this walk. It's not going to be easy, but as long as you stay full of the Spirit, you'll never be dissatisfied. Amen. Well, I hope that that message spoke to your heart today. Man, complaining is just one of those things that has no place in the life of a believer. Your life will be so much better without complaining in it. I want to pray with you right now. Why don't you reach towards me? Father God, I pray for my family, God. I pray that this week will be filled with joy and health and satisfaction and no complaining. God, bless your people, guide and protect them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.